Good morning. We're continuing Chayot Hilchos Shabbos. We're learning Klal Tes, and we're discussing the concept called Grama and the rules of Grama in regards to Shabbos and in regards to Nezikin. Today's share is sponsored for a Refuah Shleima. This is Schus for a Refuah Shleima for Shulamis Bas Chana. She should be Zechut to have a Refuah Shleima B'Soch Sh'or Chalei Yisrael. Before we go back to Shabbos, let's focus now. We're going to make this into a Hilchos Nezikin Shir. Understand the concept of the role that Ishim Shemchitza plays in the Zikin. And then in the upcoming Shurim, we will then see if the applications by Nezikin apply to Shabbos partially, totally, not at all, etc. So a person can be Mazik in many ways. The first way a person is Mazik, a person takes their hand, smashes it down on an item, and breaks the item. So the person's body directly interfaced with the item and destroyed the item. So the person is chayiv for the act of destroying the item. That's the first type of case. Second type of case is where a person, instead of using his hand, is holding a bat, and wields the bat, smashes the bat through somebody's window, and breaks their window while he's holding the bat. So we look at the bat as an extension of the person, and that's considered he's being mazik with his goof. And the next scenario is the person takes the bat, throws the bat through the window, and it breaks the window. So over there, he did not break the window. The bat broke the window. So why is he chayiv? So the more says, oh, koichoi kegufoi. Since he was the one who energized the bat, he transferred energy from his body through his muscles into the bat by throwing it. He put energy into the bat, and that's what propelled it through the window. Therefore, he's going to be held chayiv for throwing the bat through the window. Koichoi kegufoi. So far, so good. The next case gets a little more complicated. So a person shoots an arrow. So a person shoots an arrow, which can be just totally analogous to the case we just said. A person takes the bow, bends it back, pulls on the string. So the resistance of the bow makes it difficult to do that. He has to exert energy. That energy is transferred from his body into the string. The string now has a tremendous amount of potential energy. The person fits an arrow to that, releases the arrow, and the energy which is in the string transfers from the string into the arrow, propels the arrow into the distance, and does a hezek. So that's koichoi kegufoi. His koich went into the string, from the string into the arrow into then flies and damages. But what about a scenario where Reuven goes over to the bow, fits the arrow to it, pulls the string, energizes the string, and then Shimon comes along and releases the string, releases the arrow. So it's Reuven's kayach, but Reuven did not release it, so Reuven cannot be held responsible. Is Shimon kayach in that situation? It's not Shimon's kayach, it's Reuven's kayach. And the answer is that he's kayach. By the act of releasing the energy which is there, he's held responsible for that action. So we see that it's possible that even though it's not his kayach, but there is kayach here which he is taking control of, and using to accomplish that which he wishes to accomplish, that he's held responsible for that situation. So it comes out the case of the arrow. The main key is not for energizing the arrow, energizing the string. It's for releasing the energy which is there. The Gemara talks about a case where a person is put in front of a dam, and somebody comes along and breaks open the dam. So the water which rushes out at that point in time, the energy is the energy of the water, not of the person. By releasing the dam, he's sending all of that water and that power which is in the water onto the individual who is there, and he's going to be held responsible for hezek or reticha by doing so. So we see this idea of taking some type of a kayak which exists and co-opting it to your one's control, using it, directing it, releasing it, sending it, is going to be held responsible for that action. So that's the din of chitzav. So it comes to Birkun and says, well, if that's true, if a person lights a fire and the fire spreads, so he didn't make the fire spread, the fire spreads on its own, he doesn't own the fire, but the fire is an energy which he is, by doing so, is sending, as it were, out into the world. He's taking this energy which exists and being mazik with it. So Ishim Shem Chitzav is the example that Birkun gives. With the analogy that Rehoboam gives, so the Eish becomes like the chetz, and he's the one who's releasing this esh out into the world, equivalent to releasing the chetz, the esh or the chetz. Tosfos comes along about Bakama at the beginning of the sixth parak, and he says that, what about the case the other way around, where the person did not release the fire already existed, the person brought the kalim to the fire. So he threw the kalim into the fire, so again, he's using the kayach of the esh to be mazik. Let's say he put the kalim next to the fire, so that he didn't send the fire to the kalim, he brought the kalim to the fire. So Tosfos says, there's no difference. Mali, if he's bringing the kalim to the fire, or the fire to the kalim, either way, he's going to be held responsible of the concept of Isha Mishum Chitzav. Some Rishonim disagree with Tosfos, but let's assume that now that is how we understand the Din Mishum Chitzav. So we've discussed various different types of kayach regards to Hichos Nezikin. There's also something called kayach kayacha, which we're not going to get involved in right now. So all of these are cases which are going to be chayiv, and we went through the stages of how direct or indirect. That's all considered direct enough that the person is held responsible. We then have to turn around and see how does this play out vis-a-vis Shabbos. So we're going to hold it here. Mr. Shem, in the next shiurim, we're going to clarify that. Meanwhile, have a good day.